Breakfast in Hollywood. NBC is happy to present your host of Breakfast in Hollywood, the internationally famous personality who not only has had breakfast in Hollywood, but at one time or another in his life has dined with every important personage of our time. A former president of the United States bestowed upon our host the honorary title of Toastmaster General of the United States. Here in Hollywood, we all know him as author, actor, producer, star maker, world traveler, humanitarian, and lecturer. All wrapped up in one great guy, your host of the breakfast table, Georgie Jessel.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and everybody. I want to tell you it's wonderful to meet such an enthusiastic group so early in the morning. And Don, I want to thank you for that especially warm introduction. For a minute, I thought I was dead. Honestly, I did. Now, I'd like to start this new day with something that I think will please you, since most of the audience are ladies. And I want to tell you this sincerely. I have never seen such a lovely group of ladies in my entire career as I see before me here this morning in the studio. I want to tell you as I look out at you, it was as if I was gazing out upon a garden of orchids, really. Here and there, there's a tomato, but that's life. You know, for the past few years, I've been making so many speeches about the country, and as a rule, I dress a great deal of ladies' luncheons, and that's quite a tussle, because the lady who's the chair lady of the day generally gets up and says, I want to say a few words, Mr. Jessel, before you get on. Just take a minute just to welcome the people. And then for 3 hours, she thanks all the people who helped us with the lunch. Mrs. Rubbernose, who made the doilies. Mrs. Waterpuss, who brought the apples, you know? And then she thanks them all for making the thing a great success, which it hasn't been because it didn't start yet, you see? But we're going to start this day with something that I think is really very lovely. I want to start with something that is very interesting, because it is the first occasion of the day that we want to salute somebody and give them something. Now, this is a couple who I understand are having their wedding anniversary here. And I want to introduce them to us. What is your name, please?
Mom and Pop Young.
Mom and Pop Young. Well, and how long have you been married, Mom and Pop Young?
42 years.
42 years, fantastic. Well, that certainly is wonderful. Well, I can only say to you, and most honestly, that I hope you will be, well, I hope you'll continue to be as happy as I might have been on several occasions myself. I really mean.
Thank you.
Now, one thing disturbs me. Did you hurt your ankle coming up here tonight, Papa?
Oh,
how did that happen?
Oh, no. This is something that started 42 years ago.
You mean that? No.
See,
well, don't look at her when you're saying that.
Well, it's her fault. It's her fault.
You mean you've had that little...
No, it just started lately, but here's how...
Tell us about it.
Well, Georgie, 42 years ago when I carried her in over the doorstep, of course, there wasn't as much to carry then as there is now. Anyhow, she said...
Boy, you'll get it when you get home, brother.
Oh, I know it. She said, honey, she called me honey those days. That's before she learned how to play buzzers, you know. She said, honey, there's something I want to tell you right now. Said it's a known fact that no two people can get along and be happy if they both stay in close proximity to each other when one of them is out of humor.
That's
so
right.
She said, any time I'm out of humor... You take out and take a walk around the block. I've been walking around the block ever since. Right?
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Top Young, as a a memento of this very special occasion. We have here for you charming people this beautiful planter. Isn't that nice? That's got all bronze, and it has gorgeous tropical plants of all kinds. And may the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you very much. And now, because of this very happy anniversary couple, even though he's lame, I want to say, I think he was kidding. You should see how they were kissy-kissy when we left the microphone. We have another salute to you folks. My lovely assistant, Miss Evelyn Lynn, is going to sing a song for the occasion. What's the song going to be, Evelyn?
George, I'd like to sing a song that I think everybody loves these days, and I hope these people in particular do.
What is it?
It's called Young at Heart.
Well, I want to tell you something. As I look at them and as I look at you, that's how I feel. Young at Heart.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day, and love is either in your heart or on the way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part: you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart. If you are among the very young at heart.
And now, as always been the custom on Breakfast in Hollywood, to do this little thing, which I think is just wonderful. We do our best to further goodwill. And we do it by reading a letter sent by one of our listeners about a good deed done by a neighbor. Now, this letter is always sent without the knowledge of the person who did the kindly act. But then I guess somebody tells her to be sure and listen in. And I'll bet she gets quite a kick out of it. And she deserves it, too. Because you don't hear so much good about the things that people do. I don't know, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, used to tell me something in German, an old proverb. Immer was Neues, niemal was Schönes. Always something new, but hardly ever anything nice. And so here's our good neighbor letter for the day. It says, "Dear Georgie, in the town of Boise, Idaho, there's a wonderful woman known as the telephone lady who spends hours each day bringing interest and cheer to the shut-ins of her neighborhood. She calls each of them in turn, the crippled children, the blind, the lonely old people, and she always has a gay experience to describe. Some funny or some unusual thing she saw, or the beauty of a parade or a show. And she describes it so that the shut-ins can actually picture how it was, just as though they'd seen it themselves. But Georgie, here's an amazing thing. The telephone lady is more of a shut-in than any of the others. Yes, Mrs. Elizabeth Eaton, who brings interest and life and happiness to so many, is not only bedridden, she's totally blind. Now, don't you agree that this wonderful lady who helps others by sending messages and seeing with her heart deserves to be chosen as our good neighbor of the day? Sincerely, Miss Adeline Springer." Well, yes, I do. Thank you so much,
Mrs. Springer, for writing us this letter. And may the Lord continue to shine his countenance upon you, Elizabeth Eden, even though most people think you're in the dark. Thank you.
I understand we have with us in the studio this morning a gentleman from England. This is the first time he's been to our program, and I should like to meet him. And here he is at the program. Good evening.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The reason why I said that is because you are dressed for the evening, so I sort of feel like, yeah, what is your name, sir?
My name happens to be Sidney Wright.
Sidney Wright.
Well, and might I interrupt you for a moment, Mr. Jessel?
Yes, sir.
Very respectfully. I don't want to take the bloom off Pop Young and his wife's cheek. But you'll forgive me if I mention with pride that I am married for 55 years to an American lady, and I'm very, very proud of it.
Well, this is my... Thank you. Right. You're from London, it says here.
London, England.
And tell me, how long have you been in this country at this time?
Well, I've been in Hollywood for a fortnight.
Is that so?
Well, perhaps I should say 2 weeks. Pardon me,
Yes, I thought, I'm glad you did, because I thought a fortnight was 12 years. I didn't know.
Oh, no.
And tell me, Mr. Wright, are you, what is your, you have business out here in Hollywood, do you?
Well, I have legal business. I'm a barrister. A barrister.
Is that
I
so?
Suppose,
tell me, how is the barrister business?
Well, if you'll forgive me, it isn't quite a business. We think of it as a profession.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
you're a lawyer.
Yes, the equivalent is an attorney. You're a lawyer.
And you have some cases here, do you?
Oh, yes, quite a number, thank God.
Tell me, Mr. Wright, have you taken advantage of any of the things that Hollywood is so proud of? For example, have you been out to any of the motion picture studios since you've been
yes,
here?
Yes, I was at a studio, and if you'll excuse this British pride, I was very proud to see one of our former English chaps, who's now a very famous comedian here in America, Mr. Robert Hope.
Robert Hope, oh yes. Yes.
If I saw him at
he was born in England, I understand.
Oh, yes. He's English born, and we're very, very proud of him.
Did you know that his right name is Leslie? Leslie Hope. That's his right name.
Well, of course, I'm speaking strictly his stage name.
Yes.
You will forgive it. And I saw him, they're producing a film, I think it's Eddie Foy and the Seven Little
Eddie Boys. Foy and the Seven Little
Eddie Boys. Foy.
And I understand it is remarkable. Well, I see that you don't want to talk, Mr. Wright. So I'd like to ask you... Seriously, I want to say that it's been a great pleasure to have you here.
Could I conclude on a note that I would like to sound...
You certainly can, sir.
...that I'm most happy to recall that a great many of my ancestors, if you'll forgive the English pun... The right people came over on the Mayflower among the pilgrims.
Exactly.
The right people.
Exactly. I want to thank you for your particularly most articulate way of expressing yourself.
Thank you, sir.
And when your forefathers, the pilgrims, came over, who do you suppose was there to greet them from the top of the Plymouth Rock?
Please tell me, please.
Eddie Cantor. Thank you very much. By the way, we have a beautiful gift for you, a beautiful Helber's wristwatch. It's a souvenir from Breakfast in Hollywood. And pay my respects to the lovely American lady you've been married to for so many years. I'm going to sort of walk around here and say hello to the folks who are having their coffee, and there's a little stunt for you to do today. Now, by the way, where are these folks? Here, give me this traveling mic. How do you do? What is your name?
Benjamino.
Benjamino.
Yes.
Mrs. Benjamino?
That's right.
And where are you from, dear?
Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
Now, we're going to try this. This hasn't been done on Breakfast in Hollywood before. We want to give you 30 seconds
to give us some highlights about Buffalo, New York. Let's hear something about Buffalo, New York.
Well, we have the biggest water system in the world there.
Mm-hmm.
It's Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And we have quite a... we have quite a few skating rinks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of manufacturing plants.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people.
Is that true? Well, that takes up 37. That's very good. But now you also have... it was the birthplace of a great American showman called Mike Shea, and I used to play there at Shea's Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a wonderful Statler Hotel, and you got a mayor of Polish extraction. What's his name again?
I really wouldn't know.
Well, then you can't vote. But anyhow, I want to thank you for being here. And tell us...
Well, sir, I'm from Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. Oh,
yes,
boy,
sir.
Here we go. And what is your name?
My name's Nolan.
Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
Mr. Nolan, I'm Evelyn Lynn. I'm from Texas, too.
That's your little old heart, General. I'm glad to see you. Now, look here.
You, sir.
Well, I love to you.
Now, this is going to start a new lodge. I don't want to have it. Well, sir, I'd like to have you give us a word portrait of Houston in 30 seconds. Can you? I know it's a big city, and I know the many virtues that it has. But see if you can give us 30 seconds on Houston.
Well, Houston is the biggest town in the Southwest, and we on in there that raise cattle and pump up oil. And it's a pretty fine place to live. And generally speaking, I guess we're most famous. The young lady spoke of the biggest water system in the world. Ain't nothing bigger than they got in Texas.
You got a wonderful hotel, the Shamrock. You got Glenn McCarthy, who probably struck something today. And it's a great town. Thank you very much. How do you do?
How do you do, George?
What is your name,
Mrs.
honey?
Mrs. Ann Peller.
Mrs. Where are you from?
Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, Chicago, Illinois. Well, I know that it'll take an awful long time to give the history of Chicago, but tell us something about Chicago.
Well, we have our beautiful Outer Drive, and we have the beautiful theaters, the Chicago, the State and Lake, the Oriental Theater, and we have the South Shore Drive, and the Schaeferie, and the 51 Club, the 5100 Club, and baseball, the Cubs.
Well, that's fine. Well, you have the Cubs, you have the White Sox, you have a lot of good newspapers. You got cups in it. Was on a newspaper there. It was very good. And I want to tell you something. Chicago has been more sinned against than it deserves. I want to tell you, I get mad at people because they used to blame everything on Chicago.
That's right, the gangster.
If a little kid, no kidding, if a little kid fell off a bicycle and tore his little pants a little, was happy because he had other pants, the papers throughout the country would say, hoodlums killed 300 in the news. Happy to give us the word portraits. I know that they're going to get something. I think they get a beautiful cup and saucer, don't they? A cup and saucer as a sort of a souvenir from breakfast and home. Now, some of you folks have been telling about your hometown. Now, maybe you'd like to know something about my hometown. The last 10, 12 years, I've been out here in Hollywood. Now, we call this part of Breakfast in Hollywood the question and answer period. Now, I want you folks to answer me, ask me some questions, and of course, I'll answer them about Hollywood. Now, remember, we're on the radio, so there are only certain things you can ask me and that I can answer. This is a family show. Now, who's going to ask me something?
Right here, Georgie.
All right.
How many times was Star is Born made?
How many times was Star is Born made? Now, I believe Hedda Hopper in her column in Los Angeles Times said it was made 3 times. I can only remember it being made twice. In the Silent Days, and then it was made... Well, no, we're not sure about the Silent Days. It is said that Marshall Neilan wrote a story like it for Mabel Norman. But that doesn't come to people's minds. I only know of it being made twice. First time with Janet Gaynor and Frederick March, and this time, of course, with that wonderful, great artist, Judy Garland and James Mason. Any other questions?
Here's another lady, Georgie.
What does she say?
Well, I read in a movie magazine that Joan Crawford very often scrubs her own floors. Do you think that's true?
Well, it just happens that I know that she does. Because I used to be a plumber when I was fixing the sink one morning. she was on the floor. I know Joan does an awful lot of her own housework, so 9 chances out of 10, you're right, and she does scrub the floors. Any other questions?
Another lady here, Georgie.
Do you think know? I could ever meet Rock Hudson?
Well, I wish you could see the rock in her eye, as she says it. As a matter of fact, you can, because a week from this morning, Rock Hudson is going to be on this program, and if you ask our lady producer, she'll arrange to have you here, and you will meet Rock Hudson, and I'm sure get his autograph and maybe a picture. Are there any other questions?
Yes, right here, Charlie.
What's that?
I read in the paper that you gave Judy Garland her name. How did that happen?
Well, now, that's true. Many, many, many years ago, when Judy Garland was 10 years of age, she was on a vaudeville program with me at the Oriental Theater in Chicago. And she was in an act with her sisters and her mother called the Gum Sisters. And the sign maker made a mistake, and they were billed as the Glum Sisters, which was awful. And then the show was long, so the manager said, let's pay the Gum Sisters off, and because we don't really need them. And I said, no, keep the little girl, because she's cute as anything. So we kept her. And even at the age of 9, she could sing songs in the Helen Morgan fashion. She was just wonderful. And one day she was standing in the entrance, and she said, don't you think I ought to have another name, Mr. Jessel? And I said, yes, because Frances Gum, it didn't sound so cute for such a sweet little girl. Of course, as I said when I presented her in the opening of a picture the other night, her name could be Tel Aviv Buttercup, but it wouldn't have made any difference, because she's so talented. But anyhow, I had a Filipino fellow who used to help me address, and he said to me, Mr. Jessel, you forgot to send a telegram of good luck to Judith Anderson, the famous actress who's opening a play in New York. So I dictated one of those hammy kind of telegrams. I said, all right, said, dear Judy, hope tonight answer another garland of roses to your success or something. I went on the stage and I said, folks, now you're going to meet a little girl who is destined to go very far in the show business, Judith Garland. I said, honey, that's you. And since then, she has been Judith Garland. That's the story. Any other questions?
Georgie, here's a young lady from South Africa that wants to ask you a question.
Mm.
Where would be the best place to see movie stars?
I didn't quite understand.
Oh, where would be the best place to see movie stars?
Oh, the best place to see a movie star, my dear friend from South Africa, is on the screen. They're at their best. If you listen closely to the pealing of the organ, you will hear it ringing out with an old song called Wishing Will Make It So. Wishing Will Make It So. And so it's time for our Wishing Ring presentation. And this morning we have chosen the third lady at the third table. How do you do?
How do you do, George?
And what is your name?
Marjorie Powers.
Marjorie Powers. And Miss Powers, where are you from?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
Well, we got a lot of business in Chicago today, honey. I'm going to put this wishing ring on your finger. Seems like I've done this before. And I want you to close your eyes, if you will, and give us your wish.
Well, at this time, when nations are thinking and talking of war, I wish that the final decision could be left to the mothers of the world.
Well, that's very nice. That's a wonderful thought, and if that were right, we wouldn't need cops or soldiers, and there'd be less hospitals. Now, I want to ask you a question here. Tell me, who is the youngest person in this room? Have we got the... Sonny, how old are you?
I'm 11.
You're 11. Well, bless your heart. You don't have to guess. You... You don't have to get any present or any souvenir from us because you're too young, and before you know it, you may own this whole studio. And now may I ask, who is the oldest person in the room? Do we have...
Right over here, Georgie. I think we have a very charming young lady.
We do. Well, we'll come over and see her right away. How do you do?
Nice to see you.
I'm glad to see you. And what is your name, honey?
Jesse Tiff from Dallas, Texas, the biggest city in Texas.
Oh, my
and
God.
Has everything. Oh, women. And, yeah. And girls practice.
It's got everything, Dallas. I know that. And it's got Neiman and Marcus
Store. Oh, I'm just going to say that.
And everything else. I know Dallas pretty well. Well,
hey, I saw you on television where you wanted to be senator.
Is that so?
Yeah. And listen, we'll have, like, we would make you president if it was up to us.
Well, bless your heart. I'm coming down to Dallas in a few weeks. There's a wonderful club they have there, the Variety Club.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to give something for some underprivileged children. And I'm going to come down there and make a little speech. Now, we have a very nice little thing to give you.
What is it?
Well, it's from Cedar... That's right. You don't want to be bashful. This beautiful orchid. Here it is. Here's a lovely orchid. Isn't it pretty? How old are you, honey?
72 only.
72.
Yes.
Well, now that...
I wish I was 38 like you.
Well, honey, we've given you an orchid. Now, I'd like to have something from you. I'd like to have a little kiss. All I can tell you is you're lying about your age. You're younger than that.
Let me ask you this question, folks. Are you enjoying yourself with us here tonight? Well,
so am I, and it's a funny thing, isn't it? Don't just think, when people are enjoying themselves and having fun, the minutes just seem to fly by. Now, here we are. Breakfast is nearly over. Looks like it's time for me to go back and wash the dishes. But I want to tell you something very honestly. You know, my whole life has consisted of talking before the public since I was a little boy. But most of it has always been under rather tense circumstances. It has either been at the passing of an old friend from the pulpit doing a eulogy, or it's been at a political meeting, or it's been from the stage or the screen, or at some dressed-up and stylish dinner. This is the first time that I've been able to talk to people in my long career in an informal way, and to have a half hour and meet old friends and new friends. And there's a poem by Joseph Parry about new friends and old friends, and it goes like so. Make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. New made friendships, like new wine, age will mellow and refine. But friendships that have stood the test, time and change, are surely best. Brows may wrinkle, hair grow gray, friendship never knows decay. Oh, cherish friendship in your breast, new is old, but old is best. Make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. Join us at breakfast in Hollywood tomorrow, will you? I'm going to have a special guest. As a matter of fact, it's my daughter, Geraldine, who will be celebrating her 13th birthday, and I want you to meet her. And now, until tomorrow then, this is Georgie Jessel in the cool of the California morning, wishing you all a very, very warm good day.
I better tell him why. You folks listening in, most of this applause is for Bob Hope, who just walked in, not for me.
No, listen.
What?
I know this is your first show, and I just wanted to wish you luck.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You're going to get up that early?
Every morning.
I'm going to have him decorated. Good luck, George.
Thank you, Bob.
There you go.
production.
Now that the actual program is over, I want to tell you this. It is our intention to add some new things to the already successful ones that are used, all the little gimmicks in this Breakfast in Hollywood show. Now, for example, we thought we would contact the major studios and get a manuscript of some important movie that's playing around the country and ask the guests, did they like it? And if they did, do you see yourself in one of these parts? And perhaps some lady from the country would get up and say, yes, I'd like to play whatever it is, the Audrey Hepburn part and Sabrina Fair, let us say. And we'd give her a scene to read. And then after once in a while, when we could arrange with the studios, I would say, well, you did that very well. And I'm sure that if you were playing the scene with the leading man of the picture instead of reading it to me, you'd have given a much more inspired performance. And with that, I'll get the leading fellow who was ever playing the part, who has ever played it in the picture, to come into the studio. I'm almost positive I can have the cooperation with all the studios to do this. I think that's a good addition. Also, I would like to have both the network. I think that's a good addition. Also, I would like to have both the network.